Good evening. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California, and this broadcast number 511, September the 20th, 1981. I brought in about 30 or 40 of what I consider the top stories of the week, but I'm not going to run down a lot of names with you on the various items. I'm going to let a lot of it go till next week and cover with you 8 or 10 articles of what that I consider of primary importance and go into detail on those because they involve articles in the Washington Post, the New York Times, the Wire Services Now, finally breaking open the story of those characters I've been sharing with you on KLRB for the past 2 years and their various international activities, their assassination teams, and the murders. The men who are in the news now that are being studied by the Justice Department, Immigration, the Customs, the FBI, various agencies in the United States, in fact, all of them, and the Royal Mounted Police in Canada, Scotland Yard in Great Britain, the Swiss police are now into this. This is not an American problem. This is an international problem. And I have used on the air, as I say, for the past several years, the name of Edwin Wilson and Frank Turpel and George Corcola. Those names I began using at the end of 1979. And then new names I added to this team, this can of wolves of Nazis, of international terrorists from the intelligence community and Navy intelligence, men like Theodore Shackley, Michael Hand, Frank Nugent, William Colby, William Casey, Vernon Walters, George Bush, and so forth. I have a list of names that I gave on broadcast 500. That was July the 5th. And I'm going to update to you some of the events in the news this week to bring in these names into this ball of wax. The system is finally getting unglued. I use that term every week. Before I get into what I consider the most important story of the week on this subject that excited me very much, the New York Times article by Jeff Gerth and Philip Taubman on the CIA, the company, and an inquiry into bribery, but the article is much, much more than that. I do want to mention my concern for Maxine Cheshire. She is a phenomenal journalist. She's written a column for years called VIP in the Washington Post. She's been the most hard-hitting, consistent person, hitting deeper into the problems going on in the conspiratorial world than Jack Anderson does. Maxine Cheshire has a column that I referred to over and over on this program, and starting about 6 weeks ago, I missed her column. She was the one that suggested that George Corcola had been murdered recently. She's the one that broke the early stories of Frank Turpel and Edwin Wilson with Jimmy Carter and Robert Vesco and their links to the president of Panama, Torrijas, who was just murdered two months ago. And she had many connections of the Nugent Hand Bank, just the intimations or the hints of some very important events. And as I say, she was the only person who even suggested where George Corcola is at all since last December, since he was arrested in New York and left the country. And the last she wrote about him, she had information that he was murdered. Well, I missed her article, and I didn't want to be paranoid about this. Her syndicated column is not only in the Washington Post, but is covered in the L.A. Times and the San Francisco Chronicle. So I waited 1 week and one more week, and it was summer vacation, and I thought maybe she's taking a vacation. And I had this terrible fear for her that something happened, probably because of the amount of work she's doing. And I called the Washington Post this week and got a very curt answer. Maxine Cheshire is not here. And I asked if they have a forwarding address. No, she's no longer with the Washington Post. I looked, called the directory and the information in Washington, D.C. She's not listed in any book, telephone book, or directory. In 1978, she had a book written about herself and helped write information in it, and they described her as a woman who got inside of many scandals. She blew the whistle on the $2 million Nixon jewel scandal, on the Correa Gate scandal, incidences on the Ford family, Gerald Ford, Frank Sinatra, Henry Kissinger, Tongson Park, and Susie Park Thompson. And she was described as a woman who has guts and gets to the heart of the matter. Now, her getting into the Turpel story or the Congressman Jenrette and the Turpel family, because Mrs. Chirple, I understand, was a secretary to the Buckleys. I think I mentioned this before, or maybe last week. William Buckley or James Buckley, I'm not sure, but there's a very heavy connection. I have to check out which one of those the Mrs. Chirple worked for. It's important to know because one is the Deputy Secretary of State. But Maxine Cheshire is not available, at least to write to or to call, and I certainly hope that no harm came to her and that she's well, that she doesn't come down with a Martha Mitchell cancer or that Jack Ruby cancer, I always fear. I hope she wasn't fired from the Washington Post. I'm sure she was. There's a slim chance that she left at this time for vacation or whatever. But I just had a terrifying feeling a few weeks ago when I didn't see any column of hers of any kind and finally got the nerve to ask. And I hope that my first fears are not realized and that she's all right. But she was courageous. She is a courageous woman, and maybe she'll be syndicated somewhere else and we won't have anything to fear. But so far now, Maxine Cheshire is not in the news, and that is very sad. I miss her column, and I miss what she has to offer us. Now, this last week, there were many articles, one almost every day, on the subjects that I've been talking on this program, as I say, for the last several years. And I really appreciate the loyalty of the people who listen to this show every week, not sporadically, not once a month or once every 6 months or once a year. The people that take the tapes regularly, and some have listened for the full 10 years that I've been on the air, and subscribe to the tapes in the interim when I was doing them privately or for other stations. I appreciate their loyalty, and I think the payback that they're going to get now, those people that have followed this news analysis every single week, is a deep understanding of the things that I was saying, the understanding of past books that have been written, and an understanding of where the country's going to go in terms of exposés and investigations and the shuffling of characters based upon their knowledge of these names that many of you have become familiar with, and I just listed off a few of them. Now, this article in the New York Times, it was so important this week. It was, the title of it was, "The Company of Ex-CIA Aid is the Focus of a U.S. Bribe Inquiry." And in essence, it has to do with Edwin Wilson having a particular company, an organization that he fronted, a CIA company called Control Data Corporation with headquarters in Minneapolis. And the allegations in the article were that he paid a particular person, he was to pay him $1,000 a month to spy on the army, our army in West Germany. Edwin Wilson was from the CIA and Navy Intelligence, and he was paying somebody and bribing them to spy on another branch in the service. But the article goes way beyond the offering or bribery of one person to spy on another branch of the service. This article says that the investigation of these people, that I have rattled off these names to you, a few of them, is long overdue. It should have been going on since 1977. And I have an article about how many people of the CIA were fired in 1977, that's 4 years ago, because of the Edwin Wilson, Theodore Shackley, George Kurkola, Frank Turple scandal. 700 people of the CIA were rearranged in offices, fired completely, transferred to other places because of these men. Now, that has been smoldering for 4 years, since 1977. This article in the New York Times says that the investigation has been plagued by delays, which I know because it is the most dynamite story that the United States government will ever have to face. It's been plagued, according to these authors, by a lack of coordination of witnesses, by a lack of cooperation of the investigating teams, by the protection of Edwin Wilson and his associates by members of Congress. Earlier this year, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms tried to get two men off the case that knew the most about it, and they fired them. And they don't know who was responsible for firing them and holding the case again. But now the important thing is that the two men are back on the case and they're actively involved. And according to the New York Times, this is what the article says. It's a front page article, then a full page behind it. The Wilson case has become one of the most important federal investigations in recent years. Now, you heard that first from Mae Brussel on KLRB, if you listen. And I warned you and told you this would become one of the most important. Now, the New York Times calls it one of the most in recent years. I think of the Korea Gate, the Senate Watergate, the Kennedy assassination, the House Select Committee on Assassinations, the Senator Church Committee. Those were four important investigations. But this is bigger than those investigations. What they've got now in Washington, what the president has to deal with, and I'll go into that now. The article has a very nice little black caption, President Reagan is taking note. What President Reagan inherited and is part of and a front for is the international network of fascist organizations that I've talked about, the Grand Mason Group, Licio Gelli in Italy, the Permandex assassination teams coming out of Italy and Switzerland, Colonial Dignitat and the torture centers of Nazis in South America with their links to the Nugenhand Bank and this funding of Jonestown and mind control programs and intent for slavery and wiping out native populations around the world and killing labor leaders and writers and newspaper people. What they've got on their hands is a group that set up the SLA in California, the Biedermannhof in Germany, the Red Brigades in Italy, Carlos the Jackal, the terrorist, the Irish Republic Army, the Japanese Red Army. What they have on their hands is that the Navy intelligence and the CIA set up political assassinations in every country, had coup d'etats in every country that you can name that became fascist, that are getting ready for a bloodbath in Cuba, Guatemala, and Ecuador, El Salvador. Ecuador just had the loss of a president there. And what they've tapped into, and it's long overdue, the hints of it came in the Senator Church Committee, in the House Select Committee on Assassinations. Every one of those investigations, Representative Pike, the House of Representatives, the Rockefeller Committee, every single one of the investigations since John Kennedy was murdered has agents that were named in those investigations that link directly to the names that I have been giving you on the air for the past 2 years, to people like Theodore Shackley, Edwin Wilson, Frank Nugent, Michael Hand, Frank Turple, Kevin McCullough, Richard Helms, George Corcola, George Bush, Vernon Walters, William Casey, William Colby, Alexander Haig, John Connolly, Michael Sindona, and the Vatican being taken over by the fascist group. I have mentioned different banking connections, but every major investigation has stopped short. And now, the New York Times, this last Sunday, a week ago past, said this case is called the most complex, the most extraordinary case in complexity and significance and scope. And Jeff Gerth is a person I mentioned who wrote the marvelous article on Richard Nixon and the Mafia and Resorts International, the Mary Carter Paint Company, the interlocking links in Bahama of Intertel, the group that took over the Howard Hughes Empire. Jeff Gerth is knowledgeable about that whole Miami Southwestern faction, and it fits into the Miami-based World Fascist Organization with their interlocking links to Spain, to Italy, to Argentina, particularly France, the World Nazi Group, known to people who study the Nazis as the Odessa, the spider set up by Hitler at the end of World War II, getting ready for World War III, by 1943, when they knew they couldn't win the war against the Soviet Union. This team set up their organizations. And the New York Times is calling the Turple-Wilson case complex, ordinary, extraordinary case, complex, and so forth. They said they're working with the FBI. If you can imagine these agencies, everywhere they tap, coming into a new story and giving immunity to new witnesses. They're working with alcohol, tobacco, firearms. They're working with the customs, with international revenue, with every law enforcement agency they can, and I mentioned Canada, England, and Switzerland. Now, there's a wide range of offenses, and I'm just quoting one article in the New York Times this week, last Sunday rather, the Violation of Neutrality Act, false customs declarations, failure to register as foreign agents, illegal exports, transportation of arms and ammunition, perjury, false declarations, bribery, fraud, and conspiracy to murder. Now, when they were importing and exporting these ways of slapping their wrists are not just little taps on the wrist for minor infractions. This article mentions just one item. This Edwin Wilson, whose name I use so often, who's from Navy Intelligence, with direct links to the Nugent Hand Bank in Australia and Colonial Dignitat in Chile. This Edwin Wilson, just for one item, had a business going for the Shah of Iran, where he was given a large amount of money, just $20 million to do a particular operation for the Shah of Iran in the United States, $25 million. He had a home for $3.5 million next door to Senator John Warner, and there was an article in the New York Times asking a while back, how did he afford that home? Well, imagine the Internal Revenue trying to tax a man in absentia who's now over in Tripoli, who for one job got $25 million. Now, that only has to be international narcotics payoff at the highest level. It has nothing to do with architecture or construction. And every one of these team has combined three forces that I've talked about week after week. International Nazi organization, the international narcotic market, starting with William Casey, the director of the CIA, hiring and working with Lucky Luciano in Italy when World War II was over, and making deals with Meyer Lansky and setting up the crime syndicate along with the CIA with Reinhard Gehlen, the chief of Hitler's intelligence. When you melt those people together, and I have a quotation from a book to read you what happens in that case, that book, The Great Heron Coup, what evolves has to be a matter of chaos, blackmail, and murder and exploitation of people and the corruption of the court systems and the news media. So what is rupturing after an era from 1943 to 1981 is that because of various crimes and because various researchers pursued them, we came across clues, and I can link item after item, that we as individual researchers, maybe we were 11 when John Kennedy was killed, and I was one of those 11. Then there were 22, and then maybe 100, and maybe 200 or 300. But every one of those researchers, every name they have, fits into this grand plan that's coming open now, that's opening up. Every witness we have fits right into that plan. And I don't believe if the researchers, the handful, didn't pursue the assassination of John Kennedy, if the newspaper people didn't publish articles with material that we had, critical of investigations, of the Warren Report, even as bad as the news media was, there's hundreds of books on the Kennedy assassination and on various conspiracies in the intelligence community. And as each author began to open up a little layer of their expertise of what they were going into, they tapped into this huge international fascista organization that was Hitler's organization, set up by Mr. Skorzeny, Oscar Skorzeny, and Martin Bormann, Joseph Mengele's, Hallmar Schacht, and Hitler's whole team under the guidance of his chief of intelligence, Reinhard Gehlen, and Albert Speer, who passed away recently. That team is alive and well. They're well organized, but some of their illegal acts that have not yet fingered them as being a part of them, the acts themselves are surfacing now, and the links to the Nazi organizations is all that is left to expose these kinds of people. Now, the New York Times article, this one of the Jeff Gerth, the important one that I think is so significant because it touches so many bases, said that Barry Goldwater, chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, said there is nothing new in the case. The committee has no plans to explore it. Now, Barry Goldwater is the mob chief from Arizona. He's the one who selected our new Chief Justice, and I warned about her and her possible mob connections because she's so close to Goldwater. He has links to the CIA, to the military, to the Defense Department, and the drug dealers, and he is trying to quash the Senate Intelligence Committee from the Wilson Turper Coca-Cola, but it won't wash because, believe me, with the amount of media coverage that's coming out now, it's going to begin to pour out. As I told you for weeks in the past, it has to come out like Watergate in terms of many books and many investigations. Now, the House Intelligence Committee, according to the New York Times article, this one says that they're following the case closely. They're following the performance of the prosecutor and other officials in the case. The grand jury is taking testimony by associates of Edwin Wilson, his relationship to politicians in Congress, and this is very important because of the links of Strom Thurmond to this assassination fascist group down in Miami that met with Strom Thurmond, and he was the man who wanted John Lennon deported, and that man in Congress that I triggered being behind the John Lennon assassination as part of the intelligence CIA group. Strom Thurmond works with the Miami-based fascist group who have headquarters in Lebanon, where Mark David Chapman was, and Strom Thurmond is a big key to the Nazi fascist assassination team that got Mark David Chapman completely brainwashed and spun around the world until he ended up in front of the Dakota Hotel. And that was almost a year ago, if you can believe it or not. Now, Jeff Gerth wrote in this article that the one problem with this case is that they may run up against a little gray mail. Have you ever heard of what gray mail is? Gray mail is it's the first cousin of blackmail. They said the defense lawyers for Edwin Wilson may use gray mail. That's the threat of introducing classified documents in open court to force the government to drop or settle charges on favorable terms. Wilson's charges involve dealings with Libya, our alleged enemy, but the investigation has uncovered many other links of Mr. Wilson to top military officials in Egypt, and again, they were trained by Otto Skorzeny and Hitler's team, as was Gaddafi. I mentioned that last week, and I have another reference of Skorzeny training Gaddafi and how all of Edwin Wilson and Frank Turple's relationships to Gaddafi have the approval of the CIA and of Navy intelligence in the highest levels of our government. And the more they go into this, they'll have to quash it or try on the basis of national security, because this is where we come to the push and shove of how Americans can provide the money and the arms for what they call the left terrorism, so that people like Alexander Haig and President Reagan can give up and give up brazen speeches about terrorists, or this Sterling book on the terror network, or the Moss book on the spy, these propaganda books blaming the Soviet Union for terrorism, when the Tsarists, the Nazis, the CIA, the Defense Department are in it up to their ears. Now, this article, I'm just quoting all of this from one article in the New York Times. The investigation of these payments is to Mr. Sear is just one sign that the FBI has widened beyond its original focus of Mr. Wilson. Now, originally, they were going to charge Edwin Wilson with sending weapons over to Gaddafi. He's also charged for assassination attempt of a person in Colorado linked to Gaddafi, and I'll go into that article also, because the charges were that Gaddafi wanted this person killed in Colorado, and the man who was hired to do it, Tafoya, who's been charged with the attempted murder, he didn't die, came on CBS and National News this week and said, I worked for the CIA all along. It wasn't a Gaddafi case. I was in Canada. A man showed me his credentials. He worked for the CIA. He gave me the information to go to this apartment. We got in an altercation. I didn't mean to shoot him. He shot him through the brain, and there's a lot of damage to this particular student, a critic of Gaddafi's. But we were trying to blame Gaddafi for this attempted murder in the United States. And in fact, we sent home some Libyans from Washington, D.C., or moved their office around because of their terrorism. And the man charged with it says that the procurement officer knew him in the Green Berets in Vietnam, knew him as part of the CIA, hired him for the CIA. He met Edwin Wilson in Switzerland, and he thought it was a CIA operation all along. This article said, did congressmen and other federal employees including of the official CIA, received money from Mr. Wilson. And then the article has a very cute passage about Ronald Reagan, and you better believe this one is true. It says, Reagan is interested in case. Now, that is funny because, as I say, those of you that have listened to this program have heard me throw the names around of the complexity of this case, of that bank in Australia and other banks that fell and their links to heroin and the CIA and the assassination teams. All of a sudden, Reagan interested in the case. Well, I know he's interested in this case because these are the people that put him in office and these are the people he represents. But up to this point, there has been no question asked, a press conference of any kind. He avoids those very easily. But the Turple, Corcoran, Wilson case, Shackley, Kleins, is getting too close to home. The article says, in recent months, President Reagan and other top officials, including Assistant to the President for National Security Richard Allen, Attorney General William French Smith, Federal Bureau of Investigation Director William Webster, and the Director of Central Intelligence William Casey, have expressed interest in the case, according to intelligence and law enforcement. If William Casey was the attorney for Robert Vesco, and Vesco works with Turple and Wilson and these people, you better believe they have an interest in the case. You see, Casey is caught too close to it to stay in the office. He should resign so that the CIA isn't tainted by his still being the director, but he can't resign because he has to cover the bases. He's so involved that they actually need him there to hold the finger in the dike. So that all of these people that are in power today with Ronald Reagan have a piece of this action. They are directly involved through their political contributions, their friends, their meetings, their associates, and therefore, as this comes down, it could be the Reagan gate for Ronald Reagan, because no matter where he goes, if he opens it up, it'll sink him and pull him in, just as Richard Nixon was sucked in Watergate. And if he puts a lid on it, it will keep pouring out and oozing, just like it did for Richard Nixon and Watergate for a year and a half. And as I say, the New York Times says, this is an extraordinary case. It is so complex in significance and scope. So what I tried to explain to you for many, many months and several years, that I was handling something very complex and complicated. This one article in the New York Times this last Sunday, is September 13th, is the first explanation or attempt to explain the mass complexity of this particular story, how wide range it is, how every agency of the government has to get into it, how concerned all the federal investigators are, and if and when they keep tapping. And I don't see any way they can stop now, because there is so much coming out. And on the second half of this program, I'll just tell you briefly the articles that came out this week on this matter. Now, I don't mean Associated Press stories of 4 inches or 8 inches. A news story can be important, and I've picked up many important news stories that were 2 inches long on the back page, or where the classified ads are on the left or right-hand corner, unnoticed, or a little obituary. But when stories get full pages, and we haven't had that since Watergate, you know that the writers, and there are good writers on this case, are on top of it. I called two authors, I'll give you their names in a moment, from the Washington Post, and one of them I said, now you're leaving out George Corcoran. Of course, I throw his name in every week on these programs. I said, when you put George Corcoran into these stories that you are doing finally in the Washington Post, because you've ignored this for too long, then you will get a Pulitzer Prize, because that is the bottom line. Because when you pull him in, you pull in the Alpha 66, the New Jersey IG Farben connections, the Scotland Yard connections, Samuel Cummings, the Monarchists, the Monte Carlo connections, the Nazi connections, the Miami fascist group. When you get George Corcoran, that I keep saying on these programs, who's afraid of George Corcoran? When those people get that story, like Woodward and Bernstein worked with Watergate, then they'll have the top story. And I needle them and call them, because they have the means to put it together, and they may be avoiding taking that leap. And if they know you know it, maybe they'll look into it more. And I told this one writer I would send him information on George Corcoran. We'll take a one-minute break, and then I'll go back to some more newspaper articles this week on this subject.
This concludes the first half of World Watchers International with Mae Brussel. We will return with the second half after a brief pause.
Diablo Canyon Nuclear Power Plant Program.